Well, if you're a visitor, I want to welcome you and say tonight is going to be a little unusual because we won't have a typical sermon. We won't have a sermon. A couple of years ago, I think it was Cheryl who just said, sometimes when there's a teaching and it seems like God is really speaking something powerful, it seems like we need time to debrief. We need time to like respond. You know, the scripture says that to whom much is given, much will be expected. And so we've tried to a couple times a year to just stop and listen to what God is speaking to some of us in the congregation. And I think these are very precious times. I think we have a responsibility when we're convicted, when we're encouraged, when God does something in our lives. I think God gives us the responsibility to communicate that and share that. And so this night is just a night for people to do that, to share that. And again, I think these are some of the most powerful times that we have, hearing from what God has said to some people. So I know there's some people who communicated with me you're going to share. Why don't you go ahead and come up here?
Well, the good thing is if you want to take your mask off for a minute, you can share something. You get to breathe for a second. So what I had planned on doing this week was spending some time and going back through my notes and thinking about the most meaningful things for me and coming and sharing them or trying to whittle it down because it's all been very good. But last Sunday morning, I was at home before anybody else in my house was up just reading. And there was a particular verse I was thinking about, and I knew it was in Psalms, and I looked it up, and I read that psalm. And when I read that psalm, all kinds of themes from the teachings, from Job, Ecclesiastes, and Proverbs all just rung out to me. And so I thought I would just come and read the psalm. It's Psalm 90. And I'm a little self-conscious. I hope it's not too much. It's not a long psalm. But it just felt like the thing that was the right thing to do. So Psalm 90, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. This is the verse I was looking for specifically just for me. I wanted to spend some time thinking about that. And it really reminded me of Ecclesiastes and some of the parts of the teaching about when life was unclear. And transient, and things come and go, and sometimes we have a season where life is good, and then we move into another season and life is hard, or we're surrounded with people that we love, and then sometimes we lose those people, and so we have to be rooted in one thing. Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. So I wanted to be rooted in that, and that it just reminded me of Ecclesiastes. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And that reminded me of Job. And in the end of Job, when God comes and he's talking to Job and he says, Job, I'm going to tell you some things that I did before you were ever here. And before the mountains were brought forth, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So he establishes his sovereignty in a person's life. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream. So that like a dream reminded me of mere breath or a vapor. But it's like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger, and by your wrath we are dismayed. You've set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. And so that again reminded me of Job in the light of God's presence. When God is present, like he was with Job, we're judged and we're tested. And sometimes when we think we have our act together and we're in the light of God's presence, we realize in the light of who he is that we don't. And so the light of his presence is a good thing. For all of our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. So that's mere breath again. It actually is like a sigh. It is a breath. Our last final thing that we do before we pass on is there's a final sigh that comes out. And that's our life is a vapor. It's a mere breath. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. So those words clearly out of Ecclesiastes. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? And this last section of the psalm is the psalmist's prayer. It's my favorite part. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. So there's Proverbs. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. That's probably one of the most meaningful things out of Ecclesiastes for me, is that rejoice all of our days, no matter what the circumstances are. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, sounds like Ecclesiastes, for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So the things that I hope that I gleaned out of the teachings are to mature in the light of his presence, to be tested and hopefully to grow, to rest, to have gratitude and to take joy in all things. And then from this psalm, to see his glory and to see his work, to see him working in our lives and in the church.
Okay. So at the beginning of the Job teachings, there were some things going on in my life personally that were timely. I think one thing that God revealed to me was that I don't fully see the weight of my sin and my mistakes, and I don't like to think about things that I've done wrong or uncomfortable things or put myself, like, push through hard situations. And in ways in my life, that my life for the most part has been pretty easy. But after reading through Job and talking with some of my friends and just realizing that when I don't understand and don't face what I've done wrong, what I've failed at, then I'm taking away from God ways that he can give me grace and mercy to do what he wants me to do. And I was really convicted by that. And I was really able to see ways that I want things to be comfortable and easy, and how when they're not, I tend to deceive myself about how things are going, or can even deceive others, and how really that's cutting God short, because then he's not able to show himself powerful in my life. So I've even seen ways that I do that with my friends, and how if I want my friends to be comfortable, my friends to be pleased with me, or even in their own situations, if I'm not able to be a good friend and really, like, take them through the fire, that's bad for them as well. So I think one of the things that stuck out to me was when Chad was, like, talking about going through the fire, and I was like, I do not want that very much, but now I do, and I want to show God strong in my life and strong to others by being able to be changed and by being able to be convicted and truly see myself, and that makes God loving me even more amazing.
Amen.
Take his mask off. Okay, well, really what I have to share is just more of a personal testimony of some of the things that Chad has been sharing. So kind of a major theme that really stuck out to me from the sermons was how suffering And struggle produces maturity, which goes on to produce glory and joy. And I've really seen God work those things in specific areas of my life. And really, the two biggest areas have been in my relationships and in my faith. And so I just kind of wanted to talk about some of the things with my relationships that hopefully can be kind of encouraging. So we all moved back after quarantine. We all moved back in the house around June. And so a couple months later, something came up with COVID where I had acted really selfishly. And my friends very lovingly confronted me about it. And it was hard to hear, but I realized how true it was. And I felt really convicted from God. He just impressed on my heart, you need to learn how to love your neighbor. Just very simple, just love thy neighbor. And I realized, like, this needs to come before everything else in my life. This needs to come before school. This needs to come before work. Any other things that I have in my life, this is the most important. I need to learn the most important commandment, to love my neighbor. And so I'm like, yes, God, let's do it. I want to love my neighbor. Teach me that when I'm in this house full of girls. Teach me how to love my neighbor. And so I think God really, he really shifted something in my heart. Like, just after yielding to him, he really shifted something in my heart where I really started to care about what was going on in other people's lives just as much as I care about my own life. I held the weight of other people's salvation and their journey to glory and their journey of maturation. That was just as heavy on my spirit as my own journey and my own journey to glory and maturation. And I noticed how my prayers started shifting towards other people in my house or other people that I know, and how that was just so heavy on my spirit all the time, of these other prayers for other people. I just noticed that shift. And then it's been just incredible how God has answered those prayers, and how there's that shared joy and that shared glory. It's not just me, it's like everybody. Like, you get to share in that glory and that joy with me. And there's just been so many instances of that, and there's been so much growth in the house. And it's painful, and it's hard because it's very vulnerable to love other people like that. It's a very vulnerable thing because I can't control the burden that other people have. I can't control what's going on in their life, but I'm to love them, and I'm to carry that no matter what it is. And that's a hard thing to do. And I'll just share one specific example that God really spoke to me this semester. I have a friend that I love very, very dearly, and it became very obvious to me that she's not chosen God. She's not choosing God right now, and she's really choosing a path of destruction. And I was driving home one day, just in utter heartbreak over the situation, just bawling my eyes out, like, and I just really cried out to God. I'm like, God, how can this happen? How can you let this happen? I know she needs to make this decision, but God, how? I don't know how to deal with this. And then I felt God speak very clearly to my soul. This is my heart for the lost. What you're experiencing now, right now, that is what I feel for the lost. And in that is very painful. It's very true heartbreak. But I realized God just gave me a piece of his heart. He just let me experience a piece of what he experiences every day for people all over the world. And he's teaching me how to love people despite anything, how to just really love people, whether they're following God or not, and how I can love people and it be very, even if they're headed to destruction. And so God's been teaching me a lot. It's been very painful, but it's been very joyful and glorious at the same time. So I'm very thankful for the house and all these girls. You guys are incredible. I love you. I have a lot of ways I still need to grow in this area, but very thankful. So that's it.
I think that the teaching that Chad did and that Kelly added on for spiritual maturity, moving from priest to king to prophet, has been very pivotal in my understanding of why, how the world works the way it does, why God allows things that he does. I was brought up in a home where, I guess, planners, people, you plan life. I was taught you plan life in such a way to minimize pain, you know, in every way possible. And I realized God doesn't work like that. And I knew God uses pain to help us grow. But this, I feel like this has just been a paradigm shift for me to open up a new realm to show me how God is working in this broken world. Yes, we have pain, and because there's sin and because Satan's out there, you know, pushing people to sin. But I feel like now I see more, what is God doing in the midst of this pain? And somehow that makes me more willing to embrace it. This has just been really, these teachings have been really huge to me. And when the part where they were talking about Job, and like where God and Satan were talking about Job, and God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" to Satan, this really baffled me, because, you know, growing up in the home I grew up in, where you try to avoid pain, why would God point out Job, such a good man? You know, and then it tells me I never really understood the book of Job before, because I always thought it was about, why do good things happen to bad people? But when Chad opened up and started going through, look at the life of Abraham and these spiritual markers in his life, and look at Joseph and these spiritual markers in his life, and brought all these Old Testament characters, then it started to make sense. This is God's plan. This is how he's redeeming. This is how he's bringing us to look like him. And I'm just really thankful. I feel like I will never read scripture again in quite the same way, because I have this new lens now. I can look through, this is how God works in the world. And when I see God working in the world, that just makes my heart feel more like, okay, I'm that much closer to God if I can see what he's doing. And also when Chad says that God's purpose in all of this is so that we can rule with him one day. You know, this pain, you can go through a lot of pain if you know there's a purpose for it at the end of it. And I never really thought about that purpose at the end of it. So this is, and then to stand in God's counsel and to have him listen to me, you know, or listen to those of us who love him, that is so humbling. That's worth going through some pain for. And I love the illustration Chad had about God will tear apart something that is just good and put it back together to make it very good. I always try to be good. I was always trying to be the good kid in school. But then when I had a miscarriage, and I've had some very painful things, you know, and with parents, some painful things that we walk through. And I just found myself asking God, why? Why do I feel like Job. Why do I have to go through this? I just didn't understand the whole spiritual maturing phase. So this has really been wonderful teaching to me. And it makes me feel like I'm more willing to share my faith with others, because, you know, when you find a reason, a meaning, this gives meaning, you know, to the pain. And I just want to share that with others.
I once took a nighttime electrical class, and we were supposed to introduce ourselves and say where we came from. And I said, "Hi, I'm Bob Piscucci. I just escaped from Eastern State Mental Hospital to take this course." And I thought it was funny. I got nothing but stares. So it was a very awkward moment. Anyway, I don't know why I said that, but in Proverbs 4:18 said, "The path of the righteous is like the light of day. It gets brighter and brighter." And several years ago, I used to go regularly to the Arboretum, but it wasn't called the Arboretum. This was actually before it was called the Arboretum. It was called the PAR course. And it was a fitness course, and it was about half of what it is now. And there was the parking lot, but there was just a path around the perimeter of the one lawn and yard, and it went through the through the woods and everything, and the different stations where he did chin-ups and push-ups and stuff. And so I did it regularly. And one time I was going through the woods, and a tree had fallen over the path. So I jumped over it and kept on, you know, didn't think a thing of it. So then we moved back to New York, and we were gone for quite a while. I came back for a visit, and so I went to the Power Course, one of the first places I went to. I used to love that place. And I'm taking the Power Course, and I came to that log, that tree. It had all grown over. And I and then there was another path that went all the way around it. And I thought, wow, there's got to be a lesson here somewhere. And so so I was running and I was thinking about it. And then I remembered something that I learned in high school, which is a very hard thing because I don't think I will learn very much in high school. And it was, there was a thing in history, and it was called a shun pike. Back in the early days of turnpikes, when they first started turnpikes in the late 1700s or wherever, people would, instead of wanting to pay the toll, they would actually take all these other routes around it, and they actually became a name, and they called that a shun pike. So I thought, oh boy, there's something really good here. And I realized that it's easy to actually avoid hard things. So there's you can have a pattern. And I am the first one that I can apply this to. And if it applies to you, well, that's fine. You can have a pattern of avoiding hard things. You can be on the path, and then something hard, and then you end up creating another path, and eventually the other path becomes your normal way of living. That becomes the shun pike. And so we can, actually our lives can be a shun pike. And so we need to stay on the path, and we need to realize that that's how you grow, and that's how you become more mature, by staying on the path, by taking hard things head on. Don't avoid things that and obstacles. Maybe half of us remember that it was a poem or a plaque or something. It's called The Footsteps in the Sand. Who does not know what I'm talking about? Okay. Anyway, so you all know that, you know, it was really corny, I got to admit. But if you have one, please forgive me. It's not corny. So, you know, Jesus and me are walking through the sand, and then all of a sudden the person realizes that where there used to be two sets of footprints, now there's only one. And Lord, why did you leave me? And the Lord said, no, my son, that's when I carried you. That's beautiful. Well, I call this Footsteps 2. And it's the same scenario. They've got the two footsteps, and then all of a sudden there's just one set of footprints. I mean, yeah. And there's one set of footprints, and you know, Lord, why did you leave me? And the Lord said, no, okay, now let's back up a little bit. So they retraced their steps, and he said, okay, now you see these two sets? See this set that goes this way? And see that set that goes that way? Okay? This is me, and that's you. Okay. So anyways, That's my point. Stay on the path. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Don't be afraid to take on hard things. Don't let fear. I think fear is probably one of the biggest obstacles. Don't allow fear to prevent you from doing hard things. And this is how you become more mature, and this is how we grow.
So one of the things that really stood out to me in the sermon sometime this summer, I don't remember when it was that whenever I hear a sermon or read the Bible, that I really receive what it says and really want to follow what the Bible says and what Mr. Grissom or Mr. Hahn say in the sermons. And that's just one of the things that really stood out to me this summer in the sermons and reading the Bible.
All right, so I just have a brief testimony I hope will be encouraging. So about this, sometime for about around a year now, I've been having having trouble focusing while I pray. And it's something that has gone on for a long time. And my mind would just wander every night, and I would go back and it would wander again, and then that would just happen until I gave up. And it's something that irked me a lot, so I really applied myself to fixing it, just like all the other problems. But I was very unsuccessful, and I, no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't do something so simple as form a coherent prayer for more than 30 seconds every night. And so around a couple weeks ago, I had a breakthrough night, and it was really great. I was able to pray coherently, and it's been good ever since. But there's more to it than that, because as I went back and thought about what happened for all this time, it's hit me that prayer never was something I fully understood the importance of or the meaning of, the power of, because if God can do amazing things and he already knows what we want, why does he decide that he wants us to ask him for things before he does them? It just didn't make sense to me. But as I got to thinking about it, I also was like, wait, why couldn't I do it? Why couldn't I fix the problem myself, despite trying so hard? And it's come to my attention that the only reasonable explanation for that is that Satan did not want me to pray. And therefore he was preventing me from doing so. And as there's a lot of other things that he could have attacked, he could have attacked my school life, he didn't, other things like that. But he attacked my prayer life because he didn't want me to pray. And it's really had an impact on me, because as I think about it, if my prayer is so important to the devil that he would focus on stopping it, then it should be important to me as well. And it really does have power. I think it's going to be a big encouragement for the rest of my life, because I'll be able to always go back to that moment and say, okay, this shows how important prayer really is. How much meaning it has. It's not arbitrary. So that's going to be encouraging to me, but I hope that that's also encouraging to other people. That's it.
So I already shared this really a couple of months ago, but I wanted to share it again. When Chad said, what's impacted you from the last few months? The thing that first came to my mind was when Maggie shared, actually, a few months ago with everyone. And I just want to read what she said again. She quoted from 2 Kings 17, or not quoted. She talked about how she'd been reading 2 Kings 17 and how the prophets kept telling the kings kind of the same thing over and over and over again for, I don't know, hundreds of years. And they didn't change. They just got the same message over and over again. And they never listened, and they never obeyed. And so they were repeatedly warned by the prophets, what is God continually getting at in me? And so just that whole idea that she brought up, and that was kind of in the background of a lot of the sermons, especially what Michelle brought up about maturity, you know, where the prophets come and they speak over and over again. It's easy, again, to think about, oh, you know, I would have listened to the prophet. You know, if I was the king, I would have done what he said. No problem. But yet, when God's spoken something to me over and over again, how have I responded? Have I just made excuses? Have I let comfort lock me up? That's the one that gets me, Isabel, too. This fear, like Bob talked about in the middle of the path, is it keep getting me? Have I made this new path? And God's told me, no, you keep going the wrong way. Just reminding us that, you know, when we see that, it's kind of that aha moment David has of, oh, that's me in the Bible that keeps saying no over and over again. Not, you know, I wouldn't have said, oh yeah, I'm going to obey now. I've done this. And what has God said to me over and over again? And I need to obey and change. And the encouragement is, God is the master of making new paths. He's the master of freeing us from ourselves. He sent his son to do this for us. And so today's the day that we can let him help us change and not take that same path over and over again.
Well, one thought I had, Kelly just asked if there's anything in particular I wanted to say. Before we pray, just to kind of congeal everything that's been talked about, we talked about a lot of maturity this summer. And if you can think back through everybody that just... Well, let me back up a step. For one thing, this could be church every week. We're not getting rid of Chad, so don't panic about that. But this is really what church is. This is people sharing their lives with one another, what's going on, good, bad, or otherwise, and we can then come around one another to grow more in the likeness of the Son. So this is always encouraging. These are always some of the best times that we have, and often my family will talk about these nights years down the road. So I really appreciate the people who shared. But back to, we talked a lot about maturity this year, and if you can think back through everybody that shared, a lot of what was shared tonight was about don't give up, do the hard work, do the things that make you uncomfortable that you know are right to do. And I'm pretty confident that every single person who shared something like that has grown in maturity unto the Son. So my only thought in what was shared tonight was, let that be encouraging to you. If you're struggling with something, if there's something that God has said, I want you to do this, I want you to do this, I want you to do this, I'm sure that everybody that shared, there was a level to which they probably heard it more than once. It wasn't, I mean, I think that some people hear something, they see it, and they change. But a lot of times God has to keep tapping you on the shoulder to tell you, I need you to do this differently, I need you to do this differently, I need you to do this differently. All of you who have children, you've probably experienced this with your kids. But for those people who tonight have shared the things that they've grown and gotten to the other side of, I think they would all tell you there's great joy and there's great comfort in the Lord in going through the process. So just as an encouragement, hear what was shared tonight, especially if there is that thing that God's tapping on you with, to embrace it and do it. Because what you saw tonight, I mean, you surely could have seen it in Isabel's face and in Christy's face and in others' faces. It's almost like a relief of, this is off of me now, and I can more fully embrace the relationship that the Father wants with me. So just as an encouragement, I want us to be able to hear that and what God is trying and wanting to do in us. It's not, you're wrong, I'm mad at you, you're in trouble. It's, you're missing what I have for you and what I have for you for other people. So that was all.
No, that's great. I'm probably just going to share what he said in different words, but
it'll be better.
I mean, it was, all the testimonies were fantastic. It's really encouraging. When we do this, we never really know what it's going to be like. We don't really know if people will come and vulnerably share what God's been teaching them. And every time as it's going on, I think, why don't we do this more often?
Yeah.
You know, because it really is awesome. And I think kind of two main themes stood out to me from among the testimonies. And One of them, one of the themes would be that life can be easy. And sometimes when life can be easy, it's because we've taken that shun pike and we've found ways to circumvent what it is that God wants to do. And so what is God continually getting at in me? And have I made excuses or let comfort keep me from growth? And then the other theme had to do with passing through the fire and the value of suffering and pain in experiencing that so that God can do the things that he wants to do. And I would summarize that in what Michelle said, in that standing in God's counsel is worth experiencing the pain. It makes it all worth it. So I think those were the two themes that recurred throughout several testimonies in very powerful ways. So thank you very much, all of you who shared. Very, very encouraging. We're going to spend some time praying. We're going to pray for our nation, and we're going to pray for our own responsibility in the way that we respond to things, especially in this upcoming week, to keep the aerial view and to remember that God is on the throne. And we're also going to pray for the sick. And so if there's somebody on your heart that you'd like to pray for who is ill, we would like to have a time where we're lifting up those who are sick. And I want to read from James chapter 5. If you do the readings in the St. James reader, this is tomorrow's reading. This is from James 5. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Let that encourage us as we enter into a time of prayer together. Let's stand.